Hey, how's everybody doing this morning? Are you enjoying? Have you been outside yet? Those of you that's in your beds, that you need to go step to the door. Well, not right now. But you need to go outside and feel this beautiful weather. Isn't it beautiful? Yes. The fall. The fall is here. And it'll be 100 degrees tomorrow. No. But God is good, isn't he? Yes, he is. Do you love God? Sing this with me if you love God.
I really love the Lord who is.
Sing it with me.
I really love the Lord. Oh, yes, and you don't know.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, yes, he gave me the victory. And that's why I love, yes, I love him.
Let me hear the children sing. Sing it if you will.
Yes, and he, I really love the Lord. And that's why I love, yes, I love him. I really love the Lord.
He watches over me.
And he watches over me. Oh, well, he watches over me. Oh, yes, and you don't know what he's done for me.
Yes, he has.
Oh, yes, he gave me the victory. And that's why I love the Lord.
Yes, I love him.
I really love the Lord. Oh, yes, and you don't know what he's done for me.
Oh, yes, he gave me the victory.
And that's why I love, yes, I love him. I really love the Lord.
Amen. And good morning once again to each of you. I'm Brother Gary Smith. For those of you that are watching, or those of you that are members of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, those of you that are guests joining us, those of you that are out of town, those of you that are in other states and other countries, we want you to help us to confirm. Now, I was told that we have almost somebody in every state listening to us or watching our worship service. I know we do have 10, 11 countries that are watching, in Africa, in Germany, in Europe, and other places that are watching us. And if you're in another state, if you're watching by way of Facebook Live especially, type in and tell us where you're watching from. Even in another city, you can type it on our Facebook Live list or send an email in to FWCOC. Is that our email? No, bulletin at FWCOC.org. And let us know where you're watching from so we can confirm who all is watching and where you're watching from. We have been speaking on a lesson series. Anybody know the title? The Kingdom Living series. And we are praying for those who have been sending in prayer requests as we've embarked on this series. We are on lesson number 6 today, and I numbered these in that I may be trying to end this lesson series up on this coming Sunday if the Lord says the same. I have gotten so much out of this series. It focuses on Matthew 5 through 7. We call it the Sermon on the Mount, but it's so much more than that. And I can't share everything, but I've just learned so much, and I hope that you've gotten something out of this series. And so Hopefully you've done your homework and read. I did a little background, and I don't want to review too much because I won't be able to finish this Sunday. There's so much more to do with this lesson. Oh my goodness. Just a little bit more background. See, because we're focusing on the book of Matthew, and you need to know a little about the chronology of what that brings us up to. You know, Matthew starts off with the genealogy of Christ, and it lists the heritage, lists the genealogy, and then it talks about his birth, and then John the Baptist comes on the scene, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, whose message is repent, for the kingdom is near. And then Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist to fulfill the prophets, and then Jesus himself is tested. He is tested. He's tested. I didn't spend much time on his test. That's in Matthew chapter 4. I'm bringing you up to Matthew chapter 5. He's tested and he's tempted by Satan for 40 days. He's led up and he's without food. And the devil tempts him to give three tests to Jesus. And I wanted to bring you up to that because you've got to see when Jesus delivers this Sermon on the Mount, he's in power. He's in power. He has been tested, and he and the Bible says that the angels ministered to him after this. After he'd gone through, and I don't know, many of us are tested. Many of us are tested, but Jesus comes out of this test, and he has so much power, and he starts his ministry. Luke chapter 3, I believe verse 23 says Jesus was about 30 years old when he starts his ministry. He's prime. 30. Can you remember when you were 30? That's a good age. It's a good age. But he was 30. And he was ready to go. Why was he ready, Brother Gary? He grew up. He was subject to his parents. And he learned. And he was in the synagogues listening and questioning and listening. Then he's tested and he passed the test. Amen, somebody. and he's in his power. And I was thinking about, you know, I mentioned, I believe last Sunday that you know, you almost have to earn the right to talk to people, especially when you're trying to teach somebody something. You know, I know, I want to know if somebody's teaching me something. I'm like, okay, what qualifies you to even teach me? You know, what have you done? Have you studied something? Have you been through something? And so don't avoid all the tests in life. And the beautiful thing about our tests and God and how he's so patient with us. Now, Jesus passed his test with flying colors. Amen, somebody. But, you know, sometimes we fail our tests. Yeah, we don't pass our tests. And I remember, I'm getting to the Sermon on the Mount. Because in Matthew chapter 5, you see in verse number 1, his disciples were. See, also Matthew chapter 4, after Jesus, he picks his team, his 12. Yeah, and Peter was one of those that he picked, Simon Peter. Simon Peter was there when he delivered the Sermon on the Mount. I want to give some practical application to this now. Simon Peter is there when Jesus delivers this sermon. And you know, we've been talking about the Beatitudes. We talked about the first part of his sermon is the Beatitudes, the blessed are. And the first Beatitude was blessed are the poor in spirit. And Peter was there listening to that. But boy, Peter's not nearby ready to get out and preach like Jesus preached. He said, blessed are the poor. And you remember also that Peter had a test later on in life. Jesus, the devil tested Jesus and he tempted him three times. And there's this familiar scene where Peter, Jesus in Matthew chapter 26, it's a little later on, Matthew chapter 26, Jesus tells all his disciples, they're eating at the table with him. He says today, all of you are going to be offended because of me. That's Matthew 26:31. And Peter opened his big mouth in verse 33 and he said, Lord, all might be offended, but I will never be offended because of you. Some of you remember that? Some of you that read your Bibles? Peter said, I'll never be offended because of you. Yeah. And Jesus says, Peter, before the cock crows, you're gonna deny me three times. Here comes his test. Hello, somebody. And there's something in this for us. See, there's something in this. Now, you know, many of you, if you read the Bible, you know Peter failed that test. Oh, he failed the test. He denied the Lord, and he went away just sorrowful. as sometimes happened to us. We fail our tests, but thank the Lord, thank you, Jesus, thank you, God, that you're merciful. Thank you, God, that you're merciful. Now remember this now. Now we're talking about Peter, one of the apostles. Now Peter was with Jesus, but he wasn't ready to preach. and he hadn't earned the right to preach. He left, and Jesus gave him another chance. After Jesus was crucified and he rose from the grave, he went to the 12. He went to Peter, and he says, Peter, three times, Peter, feed my sheep. Now, remember the first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit. And we talked about who the poor in spirit. See, the poor in spirit are those who recognize that I'm inadequate. Who recognize that I don't have all the answers. You remember, you see, when Peter said, Lord, everybody be offended, but I won't be offended. He's hard. He's way up here. You know, he's talking loud, but James Brown say he's saying nothing. Yeah, he's all hearty, but now when Jesus comes to him and says, Peter, feed my sheep, Peter is poor in spirit because he recognizes his faults. He recognizes that he needs the Lord God. So whether you have passed the test and you are ready to speak in power, or even if you fail your test, and I just would imagine that somebody listening this morning has failed some tests. Hello, somebody. I raised my hand. Yeah, I failed some tests. I tell you what, man, listen. I've been here now 15 years as the pulpit minister of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. 15 years. Oh. But I can tell you this, 20 years ago, I wasn't ready for this. Amen. Yeah, 20 years ago, I wasn't ready for this. I'm 60 now, and the Lord has been gracious and merciful to me, and he's taking me through some tests, and I have. You see, when we say fail a test, you really don't fail a test unless you just quit. Amen. If you got breath in you, if you have life in you, and I'm not talking about what other people are going to think of you, I'm talking about God, because remember this word, blessed are, and these blessings can come only from God. Yeah, we're not talking about what people are going to say, what people can give you, and people pat you on the back. We're talking about the blessings that come from God. Now Peter, at that time, now he's ready. But when Jesus was giving this sermon on the mount, Peter wasn't ready. And let me say this also, is that we all have a sermon. The question is somebody going to hear our sermon? We all got a sermon. We preach a sermon every day. We writing our sermon. See, as soon as you step out the door, as soon as you go into your workplace, you got a sermon. So in your house, you got a sermon going on. When you go to work out in the gym, guess what? Oh, I'm not no preacher, but somebody's watching us all the time. You do recognize that, don't we? But see, the question is, will people hear us? Will people listen to us? Will we impact? I got to tell you this. Just this past week, I was helping one of my daughters put some stuff in storage. And you know, you can go online and rent the storage and pay for it online. We done that and gotten the place closed at 9. We loaded up a bunch of stuff, had all this stuff, got it off the thing, went up to the plate, up to the storage shed, and it was locked. It was locked. The thing was locked. It was right about 10 minutes to 9. Oh, my goodness, it's supposed to be open. Then it was nighttime. Walked all the way down, walked to the office. And you tell the one lady that was in there working, well, she was closing up. And she was on the phone. She came outside, and her car was sitting out. I was outside the gate. And I was trying to be paid. Wait, I was going to tell her that I need my shed needs to be opened up. And she was on the phone just talking. And I could overhear it. And she said, oh, my car, there's somebody hit. Her car wouldn't start. And she was just so upset. Somebody need to fix my car, and I was just sitting there patiently, and I started getting impatient. So, Lord, now you need to hurry up. I need you to open this shed up, because I'm tired. It's time to go home. And she was just going on and on and on about her car and on. And I just said, you know, I kind of said, let me calm down. And I sit down on the sidewalk, and she was just still talking. And finally, she got off the phone, and she was upset. And I said, ma'am, could you please come and open my locker up? She said, well, it's after 9 o'clock. I started in my mind, I'm saying, I was here before 9. And she said, hold on just a minute, sir. And I said, okay. And it was a young lady. And she walked out. As soon as she opened the gate and walked out, we were walking, and she just burst out crying. Oh, she burst out crying. I said, it's going to be all right. Just come back. She said, oh, Lord, everything. I've been here all day, and every one thing after another, now my car won't start. I said, it's going to be all right. I said, you need a ride home. And my wife was with me. KB was with me. And I said, you need a ride. No, I don't need a ride. I said, everything has been happening. So I said, you know, it's going. I said, and then she just broke out crying again. I said, oh, my goodness. I said, yeah. I said, just let it out. Get it out. I said, what you probably need to do is cry. Get it out. And she said, oh, my God. I said, but look, you need a ride? She said, I don't know. I don't need a ride. We walked it. By that time, I forgot all about my shit. And we got to the door where you go in, and the young lady looked up. She said, are you Brother Gary Smith? And I said, my wife and I both backed up. I said, yeah, she said, and then I'm not going to tell you who she was. She said, I'm so-and-so. My grandmother is a member of this church, and my dad is a member of this church. And she said, and I didn't know who she was. And she said, you're Brother Gary Smith. And she broke from crying to laughing. And I say, well, I say, yes, I am, blah, 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 you know. And I say, look, don't you worry about nothing. She said, I'm all right, Brother Gary. I just had to let it out. And I thought to myself, after she got us open, she went opened the shed, came out. The place was locked down. She opened it and came out and brought the key to us. And she was smiling. I said, you all right? I said, we're not leaving to you. She said, no. My boyfriend came, was coming, and I'm all right. I'm fine. And after we got back in the truck, me, KB, and I got, I said, Lord have mercy. I'm so glad I didn't go off on that girl. Because, boy, I was close to letting my sermon be that madman. What's your sermon? Is your sermon on your job that lazy man? Is your sermon on the job messy Mary? No, no, it's not. I know. But we all have a sermon. And so when Jesus is giving practical. I'm talking about he's giving things that we need to be doing in our lives. And it has power behind it because he has been through it. And we get to Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 1. I want to go back to 5, some other things in there, but I just want to cover this today. Matthew chapter 6, brother Mike read this in you. You're all right this morning. God is good. I'm just counting my blessing. Anybody need to count your blessings? Yeah, count your blessing. He says, beware. You remember all the things that have gone on prior to this. He said, the Beatitudes, work on yourself. These are things you need to do to be blessed by God. And then he makes general statement. Then he gets to specific examples of how we ought to live. So you don't beat around the bush. He said, beware of practicing. Now, this is what we are doing. Actions and words, your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. His message is countercultural. See, it's not because... You know, how we think as humans. See, even those of us, especially those of us who call ourselves so-called, quote, call ourselves Christians, we like for people to know it. We want people to see us doing everything. But Jesus, he says, now beware of trying to show out, you know, trying to impress folks, impress people. And many times we spend too much time trying to impress people. And he says now, to be noticed by me. Otherwise, you have no reward. Remember what the blessed are? Remember those are blessings that only come from God? See, you got to believe that. Because when God blesses us, it's not like when other people bless us. People give you a little pocket change. Some people put your name somewhere. Put your name up on somewhere so people can see it. Sometimes people, it's just a pat on the back. It's like, ooh, you great. Ooh, you the greatest. Be careful. Yeah. Be careful, be careful, be careful. You say, listen, you might get a little satisfaction out of somebody saying you're the greatest, but you know how people are. They'll say you're the greatest today, but you have a bad game tomorrow. Oh, he need to retire. She getting old. People talk about you. You know what they say. And then what I don't know, what I'm seeing in this is I don't want to miss my reward from God. See, God can reward. He goes on. He says this in verse 2. So when you give to the poor, it's like Jesus assumes that we have a heart to want to help somebody who's less fortunate. I hope we do. You know, said Brooke, I don't have no money myself. It's somebody that don't have as much as you have. Our opportunities come all the time for us to help somebody. Amen. And Jesus wants his children to have this compassionate heart when it comes to other people who are less fortunate. He said, but when you do give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you. I gave $20 to this man. Why you got to tell somebody else? I mean, you know, I know sometimes. And then he uses a term that is so interesting to me that I've seen it, but it made me study it a little bit more. He said, don't sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites. He used the term hypocrites. And Brother Allen, this is the first time I was reading. He uses the term hypocrites, but this is the first instance I found it in the Bible that the word is actually used, hypocrites. And then I did a little further study and found out that it's used 16 times in the New Testament, only in the New Testament, and it's only used by Jesus. And I think he wants us to get this one. He says, don't do as the hypocrites do in the synagogues. And then I looked up the word, the Greek word. It's a hypocrisis. Hypocrisis, that's the term. It's a theater term. It's the acting on a stage is what it means as a hypocrite. Actors who play more than one role. You know, they would have actors who come out, they play one role, and then they go back and dress and play another role. So they one minute they something. It's a simulation. It means it's a feigning of what one is not. That's what it means. It's a concealment of one's real character. Our motives. It is a deceitful show of good character. It's you trying to pretend you're something that you're really not. And Jesus calls some people. He says, don't do like the hypocrites do in the synagogue. And he labels them. He said, now you got hypocrites in the church and hypocrites in the world. He says, in the synagogues and the streets. Yeah, I was thinking about that. I said, now, you know, so do we have hypocrites in the church?
Yep.
I just thought about that. I mean, we know we got them in the street. Yeah, we know, you know, people say things, but they don't do them. And he says, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when, and then he says, now, this is, they do things. He said, when you give to the poor, you don't have to, everybody don't have to know about it. Everybody don't have to know about it. And he says, now, so when you give, don't be looking for accolades. And that's what that's what hypocrites do. Their motive for giving is only they can be recognized by somebody for the giving. Oh my goodness! Do you see how Jesus in his sermon, how he's trying to perform heart surgery, not this heart surgery on us? And remember Jesus' message when he came on the scenes and he's preaching this gospel, this good news of the kingdom of God. His main message was repent. The word term repent means to turn from. Turn from what, Brother Gary? Turn from your worldly, wayward, sinful ways. And Jesus labels some of these things that he's talking about. And he said, this is what you need to turn from and turn to. If you want the blessings from the Father in heaven. And now we all growing. And we all learning and we trying to, you know, we all have been guilty. You know, who don't like a pat on the back by somebody? And Jesus, he's doing this new teaching, and they're listening, and we know they're the crowd there listening. They listen. I imagine they're like, what? What is he saying? And then he gives an example. He said, verse 3, he says, but when you give to the poor, this is how you do it. He said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Have mercy. That simply means, is that you don't have to tell nobody what you're doing. Because then he goes on to say, so that your giving will be in secret. And your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Anybody want a reward? I love this. I love this. You know what this tells me? I'm listening to this sermon and I've read it so many times. This tells me, and not only just this, I'm going to read another one if time allows. The actions that are most pleasing to God are done in privacy. Are you sure about that? Listen, this Jesus talking. And it seems to me that God watches, he sees everything. And remember now, he's doing heart surgery. And see, the heart, it happens in the mind. He's trying to change our thinking, our way, our actions. And he says, now, if you want to be pleasing to God, this is what you do. This is how you do it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And he covered. See, you remember in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 25, and Jesus is talking about those who are going to the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 25, I believe, verse 31, he says, for when I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. Yeah. He said, I was thirsty and you gave. Sometimes you think you need to be a preacher to go to heaven. Hello, somebody. You don't need to be a preacher. You don't need people. You, matter of fact, you being a preacher might not get you to heaven. Yeah. This is beautiful. This is beautiful because it's telling me that I don't have to be a song leader. I don't have to be a deacon. I don't have to be an elder in the church. I can be a member in the pews. I could be doing all kind of wonderful things. I'm not saying that our works will save us. Ultimately, our works will save us. But I can be pleasing. I can be most pleasing to God in my house, minding my own business, helping my neighbor, feeding a wayward person, giving something to a sick man. He says, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to see me. All these private acts. You don't have to wait. Well, is the church going, the church as a whole going to visit somebody? You don't have to wait for the church to visit. Oh, Jesus, you helping me. You helping me. He says this in verse 5. You still with me this morning? You still with me? Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. He says, when you pray. I love preachers who make it plain. I love preachers who apply the word to everyday life. Because that's what Jesus did. He did. He wasn't up over everybody's head. You don't even have to guess about it. He said, when you give, this is how you give. He says, when you pray, you are not to be like there's the word again, two times, hypocrites. You're not to be like the play actors. Ooh-wee. Now, I believe this is for those that were in the synagogues. I think this one is too, because see, some folk don't pray at all. And so this is the play actors who would play like they got this relationship with God. And I'm not saying we don't. I'm not saying, look, I've been guilty myself of doing things that I'm so ashamed of. But he says, when you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And then he says, truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. Yeah. Yeah. Let me just say this. Prayers don't have to be long. No. I would imagine it can be long depending on what's on your heart. But prayers don't have to be long because God already know what we're going to pray for. And then Jesus gives an example. He says now, but you, are you out there? Jesus, remember, he's preaching to the crowd. And this is one time we want to be you. You know, sometimes you say, boy, he preaching to me. Or why is he talking about me? And sometimes the word, that's how it convicts you. He said, but you, when you pray, he says this, go into your inner room. That's the room where nobody is. It could be, he says, he even goes on and says, close your door and pray to your Father who's in secret. Do you have an inner room? It doesn't have to be it could be a closet. Inner room is where nobody else is. It's where no crowd is. In your car. Hey, man. Yeah, you're in a room. It's the room where nobody else is. Hey, man. In a room might be your backyard. It might be up in a tree somewhere. It might be down in the cellar somewhere. It might be in a closet. It might. Oh, my goodness. He said, when you pray, this is how you pray. This is how you pray. When you're praying to the Father who is in heaven. Jesus. He says, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will, not might, he will reward. I read this and I'm like, look, what kind of rewards? The Lord might spare you from that wreck, your reckless driving. The Lord might spare you from that wreck you were going to have. Oh, yes. The Lord might help you skip a payment. Yeah. Amen, somebody. Yeah, he'll reward you. And then he goes on to say, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles. It's like, oh, my goodness. I wonder some people that were out there hearing that. You know how you hear something, you say, ooh, he talking about brother so-and-so. Ooh, he talking about sister so, she pray all day long, saying the same word. Listen now. There's no need of trying to judge nobody else on this one. But sometimes we think overemphasis of words and saying them over and over again like that impresses. Who we trying to impress? Sometimes people if we praying in public, people hear the word, they don't even know what the words mean. And we're trying to make people think that we have all of this great knowledge. Jesus said, that's not how you pray. He calls them meaningless repetition as the Gentiles, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Amen, somebody. I go to the hospital sometimes to see people. You know, I purposely try not to pray. I purposely try not to pray too long. Because, you know, they are sick. I want to make sure I'm praying a prayer, hopefully a faith. We're not trying to judge them. I'm not saying that there's a certain length that we pray. But I do know this coming from Jesus. It don't impress God, us using a whole lot of words. Meaningless words. Oh, hello, somebody. And see, Jesus, he says this right out flat. He says, so do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Lord, I need a job. Ooh, Lord, please help me to get a job. You don't need to say it 10 times. Lord, I need a job. Lord, I need a job. Lord, I need a job. He heard you the first time. Jesus. Let me. Oh, my goodness. This is so good. Let me give you one more, but let me read another passage. See all these prayers? He said, now, when you give to the poor, this is how you do it. He said, when you pray, this is how you pray. I mean, how can we miss that? Then he goes on to say, he says, when you fast. Now, those of us, especially in the 21st century right now, we don't do a lot of fasting. Fasting was something that disciples did. Jesus fasted. When Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, you remember this? In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus went, it don't say nobody was with him. And nobody was with Jesus. When he finishes, he didn't come back. When he picked all the apostles, all his disciples, he didn't come back and say, y'all, guess what I just did? I just fasted 40 days, 40 nights. Didn't even know I didn't sin. I didn't do nothing wrong. Just want y'all to know that. Because the Father saw him. Yes, yes. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites, as the play actors. Yeah, you see, some, yeah, I'm fasting today, girl. I am ate nothing, and it's been 7 hours. 7 hours. And then sometimes we do, we call a church fast. We call a liquid fast, and we, those that want to participate in it, and we don't have to report on the internet and put it on Facebook. Oh, yeah, child, I just want y'all to pray for me. I'm fasting today. So somebody can type in on Facebook, girl, you fasting? Ooh, you blessed. Guess what? That's your reward. That's your reward. He says, for they neglect their appearance so that they would notice. Now, look, we all growing. We all trying to grow. And sometimes you need help when you're trying to grow. You're trying to get counsel from someone. Yeah, listen, you want to ask somebody, how do you, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when our motive is to be noticed by, you neglecting your appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Jesus filling us up. This is part of his Sermon on the Mount. He's talking to, some of these people never heard this before, and I'm that man. They looking at, ooh, that's me. I'm guilty. He's talking. His audience is primarily Jews. These are religious folks. They go to the synagogue. They've seen the example of the Pharisees and the scribes. These are the quote unquote religious. Let me just say this. Don't put all your faith in no religious leader. Brother Gary, you a leader. Don't put all your faith in Brother Gary. I'm trying to make it to heaven. Yes, I am. Put your faith in God. I'm going to finish with this. Matthew chapter 23, verse 14. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Because you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense you make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. You realize there are quote unquote religious men and women who use religion as a pretense to take advantage of folks. One sister told me about this guy. She was dating. She said, "Ooh, Brooke, I thought he was the right one. Oh, he called me on the phone. He said, what you doing? And I said, oh, I'm not doing nothing. He said, well, look, I just want to pray with you right now. He said, that was his conversation to me. Every time he called me on the phone, he said, what you doing right now? He said, how's your day? He said, well, let me pray with you. And she said, oh, brother, that impressed me so much. Brother just want to pray with me. She said, and soon, she said, brother, but boy, he turned on me. I said, oh, have mercy. She said, then he wasn't praying with me. He was praying on me. On my money and on my body. Hello, somebody. This is Matthew chapter 23, verse 1. Matthew 23, verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not according to their deeds. And man, Jesus gives a definition of the word hypocrite. For they say things and do not do them. That's the definition of a hypocrite. And then he goes on to say, in Mark's account, Mark chapter 7, verse 6, and he said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts. Oh, whoo, Jesus got the knife out. He's preaching this sermon, boy, and he's cutting somebody. Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, I tell you what, it cut me. Oh, see, now do you see, now do these Beatitudes come alive? He says, Gary, and he mentions this one first. I think it's on purpose. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Because after I read this a couple times, I said, Lord, how inadequate am I? Because it's tempting to get praise from people. He says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. They shall be filled. Oh, I see what you're saying now, Jesus. Gary, work on yourself. Work on your heart. Don't become like the world. That's why his message was, repent, turn from this foolishness. And kingdom living is different kind of living. It's a changed life. It's a changed mind. Later on, after this sermon, he says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 43, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Yeah, he's trying. Jesus wants us to shine. In Matthew chapter 5, he says, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. He says, wants us to shine. And then he utters these words that only he says. He who has ears, let him hear. Ooh. And the sermon's not finished. I'm going to try, if the Lord says this, I'm going to try to end this series next Sunday. And try to get to the last part of chapter 7. I know you've read it. You're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You need to be. But it just seems like it's a hard life. It's the best life. It's the best life. Yeah, we all going to go through tests, but you go through tests anyway. You want to live for the devil, you want to live for Jesus. All our blessings are in Christ Jesus. You need to be in Christ. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you're willing to repent of all your sins, to turn from, you won't be perfect, but your mind has to change. If you're willing to confess with your mouth what your heart believes, to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, then God himself adds you to his body. He adds you to his kingdom. He only has one kingdom for the whole world to be saved in his kingdom. He wants us to do it his way. Amen. Only one way. Amen. It's Christ's kingdom. It was established on the day of Pentecost. You want to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of all your sins. And once you're baptized into Jesus Christ, it becomes the race. It becomes our way of life to apply these principles to our life. We may not master all of them, but we will be trying those who diligently seek him. If you stopped, you need to start back. If you're not saved, you need to be saved in Christ. If you have a prayer request this morning, if you want us to pray for you, please let us know. Our elder will pray a prayer of faith this morning at the end of our worship service. If you want to be baptized, don't put it off, because all of this kingdom living lesson series does not apply if you are not in his kingdom. And I'm talking about this. I'm not talking about any church. I'm not talking about every church. I'm talking about in his kingdom. Won't you come as we sing the song of invitation?
If for the prize we have striven, after our labors are o'er, rest to our soul will be given.